Hi everyone, my name is Susan. I'm a compulsive eater, and welcome to the January 15th See How Literature and a Literature Workshop. That's January 15th, 2017. We are going to have a panel of seven people dealing with different areas of See How Literature. What we will be planning to do is have four speakers and then stop for pause for questions and answers, and then start again with three more speakers. And just want to give a heads up that this workshop is being recorded, and I will just read the tool line for literature and writing from our seven tools. We use Alcoholics Anonymous, the Big Book, and AA's 12 Steps and 12 Traditions as tools of examination and release. Our writing assignments for the first 30 days are taken from them. When we substitute the words compulsive eater for alcoholic and food for alcohol, we feel we identify absolutely. We believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we are learning one day at a time to abstain from negative thinking. I want to thank all the panelists for agreeing to do this service today, and we have a timekeeper, Loretta, who will be keeping time for the speakers, and thank you, Cheryl, for doing the recording for this workshop. We will start with the first speaker on the panel, and Cheryl, that would be you. Are you ready to speak right now?
Thank you so much. Okay, Cheryl, compulsive overeater in program since December of 2001, recommitted August of 2013. I had 72-pound weight release, and I love this program. Very, very grateful my higher power led me to these rooms. I could not do this by myself. I could not do it without all of you here today and everyone in program in general. I need the support, and I always tell my sponsors, make use of that. You know, use the people here. In other words, make those outreach calls. And I know for myself that's very important. I have built relationships, and now it's easy to pick up the phone. And especially if I have a situation going on and I need an ear, I need someone to listen to me for a couple minutes. I don't like to dump on people, but when I'm afraid of picking up, it's just a question of connecting, hearing somebody say something about a program that's positive. And that's just great that I can do that, that I have that possibility that this program offers me that. So, and then going to literature. Literature is a vital part of my program, I think of most of ours, and this came in and was like, oh no, all that reading and writing, I'm not keen on writing, and every day, and you know, weighing and measuring my food, it was like, okay, I don't think this is for me. But what got me was when I did sit at that first meeting and heard people share. Now, the shares were very similar to mine. I mean, to mine, the backgrounds were different, but they were using food, and food was controlling them like it was me. But most important was when people got up to talk about their weight release, their weight loss, that didn't impress me because I knew how to lose weight. I just didn't know how to keep it off. So when they started sharing about the years of abstinence, that's what got me hooked, and I kept going back. And then realized that, hey, it is important to work these steps and work these tools and do whatever it takes if I want what they had. And that's what I did. I did want what they had. So literature. Most important to me is the Big Book. It's something, if you look at my Big Book, it's in tatters. But I heard someone once say, if your Big Book is in tatters, your life is not. And I like that. And not to say that my life is perfect, but I love that Big Book. And so the Big Book. Big Book is very important to me. There are times when I need something. If I can't reach someone on the phone or I don't feel like making a call, I'll just grab the Big Book. You know, whether I have time for a chapter or a page or just a couple sentences, It brings me back into program. It keeps me grounded again. It reminds me what I'm doing here. You know, I tend to forget. You know, food starts calling, I tend to forget it all. The literature is a very important part to keep me connected, to keep me grounded here. So I'm going to, everyone, if you have a pen handy, I'm going to give you a couple pages of the different pieces of literature that I found that I really loved, and you can jot them down, and perhaps there'll be a few minutes where people might tell me and let me know which is their favorite pages in the different literatures, different pieces of literature. Okay, so to begin with, in the big book, let's see where I wrote this down. Okay, there's XXVIII, in Doctor's Opinion. And it says, men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. I love food. The sensation is so elusive that while they admit it is injurious, they cannot, after a time, differentiate the truth from the false. To them, alcoholic life seems the only normal one. And this is the sentence I like. They are restless, irritable, and discontent. We call that the RIDS, R-I-D-S. Restless, irritable, and discontent, unless they can again experience this, the sense of ease and comfort which comes by taking a few drinks of food. And so these are just things that are so real to me. There's another one on page 86. To action. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Step 10. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others? Of what we could pack into the stream of life, but we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection. So after we make our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective message should be taken. And this is important for me. At night, I like to say I do it every single night, but sometimes I'm just too tired. But I like to go over what happened during the day and thinking, you know, did I really hurt someone? You know, does it require an apology? Does it require an amends? Maybe not. I saw more harm if I do try to make an amends. Just let it go. But most important for me at the end of that is to let it go. You know, if, you know, things are bothering me, could have, should have said it differently, could have. Another page. Page 164, the A Vision for You. That's something I really enjoy. Page 300. The fellowship I found in AA enabled me to face my problem honestly and squarely. I couldn't do it among my relatives, and I couldn't do it among my friends. So that's an important page to read. And page 417, the acceptance prayer. I love that. And there's two more in the big book. And there's one on 552, the resentment prayer. This is very important to me. If it says, if you have a resentment you want to be free of, if you will pray for the person or thing you resent, you will be free. And tells us to pray for 2 weeks. Even though at that time I hate that person and I'm not happy doing this, it will change within 2 weeks. And then page 567 and 68, the spiritual experience. Very important for me to read that all the time. But the end of it is, there is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. And that principle is contempt prior to investigation. Never knew what that meant, contempt prior to investigation. I know now that it means if I don't know what something is about, I'm going to be upset with it, angry, resentful, because I don't understand it. Today I know that if I'm told to do something and I may not like it, why don't I check it out and see what will it do for me? And that was in terms of this program. I didn't like a lot of these things. I was giving my sponsor a hard time. Why do I have to make 3 phone calls? Why do I have to weigh and measure? So I covered the big book. I covered the AA 12 and 12. These are the books to order. I'm going to have to check this out. These are the books to order by AA or go to an AA meeting near you. And they are The Big Book, The 12 and 12, Living Sober, and that's the one, sure. AA Comes of Age, we have a meeting for that on the phone bridge. There's Daily Reflections, Dr. Bob, hardcover book, very interesting. There's Asbel Cizik, quite a few meetings on the phone bridge. There's Came to Believe, and these are all AA literatures. Then we have the See How literature. Now, in See How, we have many different booklets, but I'm going to go through the hardcover. Let's see, what do we have here? We have a booklet that came out not long ago from Compulsive Eaters Anonymous, How, on sponsoring in Compulsive Eaters Anonymous, How. It's very interesting. There are questions there that we get answered, we get asked from sponsees and different ways on how to sponsor. Very, very helpful when you're sponsoring. For example, it covers the different steps, tells you about service, service to freedom from bondage of self, the outreach calls, the phone list, how to explain to sponsees what they need to do. And it helps me in sponsoring too, as much as I've sponsored for so many years. Okay, these are the workbooks we have. We have the Big Book workbook. We have After Inventory Questions, Abstinent Model, Kaleidoscope, See How Maintenance Guide, that's when you get to maintenance level, Just Desserts, Recommitment Questions, Celebrating the Program Pioneer, 12 Traditions Questions, Came to Believe Questions, the Asbel Cizik Questions, and we have six booklets of those, the cookbooks. And then there's a new cookbook. There's an older one, and that one is called, right in front of me here, Achieving Balance, too. That's a very good cookbook. It's a thick one. And then we've got the new one, and that is called, and very interesting, there's some good recipes in there. Really good. And it's up to date. With each recipe, you have the exact measurements of how many proteins and exactly the way we have to eat our meals. And this is called See How Recipes That We Love. All this can be bought either on seehow.org website or cheaper probably if you go to phonebridgeliterature@gmail.com. And she may not have all the different pamphlets, workbooks, but she has most of it, and that's probably the best way to go. Let me just run through some of the pamphlets we have. You can also find this on the website. This is Welcome Newcomers, What is Food Addiction, Compulsive Eaters Anonymous How, the See How Concept, and What It Means, the Meaning of Abstinence, Weight Loss, Measuring and Weighing from a Food Plan. All of these are available, and I'm very grateful that I have this and that I can work with these things. These are important to my program. I need each and every one of these pieces of information, and it's good reading as well. And also just to, in Bill Sees It, as Bill Sees It, page 11 is very important to me about slipping. There's 48, 49, and 194. Thank you so much. Thanks for letting me speak. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you very much. And we'll have time for questions and answers in a little while. Okay, we'll move on to the next speaker on our panel. Jude will be speaking next. Jude, are you there?
Yes, I am, and thank you, Susan. Loretta, if you can give me an 8 minute and then a time, if you'd be.
Sounds great.
Okay?
Yep.
Okay, many thanks. Okay. Okay, Jude here calling in, compulsive eater, calling in from London in the UK. And I am a compulsive eater. I certainly do qualify for this program. I have 7 years and 4.5 months of back-to-back abstinence this time around, and I've lost a total of 77 pounds. And my presentation is actually going to be about my experience, strength, and hope with the literature, and I'm going to present it in a narrative of my journey of how I first encountered the literature and, you know, the relationship that I had with it and how that has developed over the course of my recovery in the program. So I was first introduced to C.A. Howe 14 and a half years ago by a friend of mine who had absolutely nothing to do with 12-step recovery. And, you know, I was just greedy for a diet at that stage. And when I was asked, you know, this is a 12-step program, are you fine with that? Well, in my arrogance and ignorance, I didn't have the courage to say, I have no idea what a 12-step fellowship is. I just said, yes, give me the diet. And then I had the, I guess it's the most important instruction for this evening, for this afternoon. I was told, go get yourself a big book and a 12 and 12. Now, in London at that time, there were no face-to-face meetings. I had to go to our sister fellowship, and I went to a live meeting there, and I purchased the big book and the 12, well, I didn't purchase the 12 and 12 that evening, they didn't have any, and I hated it, you know, and the beginning of my relationship with literature was one of antagonism. I didn't want to accept, I saw the differences, I didn't like the typeface, I didn't like the color of the book, I didn't like the page, I didn't like the people in the room. But something happened when I went to pick up that book. The literature person and the secretary for the meeting were kind and generous, and they invited me to stay. So I immediately repudiated that and walked out. And so was my relationship with the big book. The 12 and 12 was less so. That was more acceptable to me for some reason. So what happened to me when I approached the literature from the first time was I was approaching it from my disease. I was approaching it from the perspective of, you know, of fear, really. And as I read it, I could only read my own fear, and therefore I wanted to close it as soon as possible. But fortunately for me, there was another presentation of the literature, and that was the oral presentation. You know, when I went to my first meeting in C.A. Howe online, it hits me, some of the phrases used in the introductory readings just hit me right in the middle of my heart and blew me wide open and started to make me teachable, started to make me feel, to recognize my own disease. And, you know, when the steps were read out loud, you know, I didn't know what they meant. I just passed on those. And when the traditions were read out loud, I just passed on those. But when the CA How concept was read out loud, I honestly couldn't tell you. The whole of it was a blur, apart from the last sentence. May God, as each of us understands him, and this was the bit that really blew me open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifest in this room. Amen. And I just felt that I had that first surrender that happened, which really brought me into the program, because before then I didn't have a problem. But there was something about the quality of the voice as this was read. You know, this was read from a lived experience of being in recovery and of working through the issues of being in recovery. And then I came to notice, you know, that this program, and this is taken from the concept, a disciplined and structured approach. It gives me that. That's how I do this program. I recognize when compulsion reaches a critical level. I began, you know, the seed was being sown for me to be able to recognize my own disease. And then the seed was being sown for me to have the courage to take the next step forward and to have hope, because I was told in the concept that this program will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us on a daily basis. And I was given the promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of my life. So, you know, this is extraordinary. I'll never forget how I felt when I first heard those words being read out. And then even with the tools, actually, I've always liked the tools. I didn't understand them, and I love reading them out now. But the thing that jumped out at me first time and still jumps out at me is the tool of service. Service is abstinence, the greatest service to ourselves. And then in those early days, the other phrase that jumped out at me from the literature is 3 meals daily weighed and measured and nothing in between. So the literature started that process of opening me up and of me being in the process of recovery. Doing the questions on a daily basis, you know, I was arrogant, I was in denial. I didn't have a food problem, I just needed to lose weight. I just needed to change how I felt. But when I was at home doing those questions on a daily basis in those first 30 days, steps 1, 2, and 3, I was in a safe place where I could start writing down how I felt. I didn't know how I felt, but once I started writing, the words would come pouring out. So again, text started being an important part. So, and I regard my response to the literature as part of my library of literature, because I go back over it as well. And then the other, so the text itself was one important part. The oral part of the literature, the oral rendering of the literature is hugely important to me. Because when I came to phoning up my sponsor on a daily basis and reading out my question to her, I heard it in a different way. I connected in a different way. You know, my heart was, I had more surrender. My heart was opened more. You know, unbeknownst to me, the healing had really started. And day by day, I started to have, you know, that step one started working because I was actually doing something on a regular basis. I was actually beginning to identify. I was beginning to clear the wreckage of my past. And then the next significant bit of the literature that blew my heart wide open was when I came to have the step-up ceremony. And I didn't hear it so much, although the image stayed with me, of the five candles. You know, I immediately forgot what the five candles were about. But each time I do it with... Thank you very much. Each time I do it with a sponsee, you know, I love to say, you know, this is the candle of truth. Truth. The candle of truth brings me to the candle of reality. The candle of reality brings me to the candle of surrender. The candle of surrender brings me to the candle of acceptance and thus to knowledge and wisdom. And these steps inform my action. So my relationship with the literature changed hugely. I began to research the literature. I actually began to have a positive relationship. I started searching for answers in the literature. And then once my first three steps were done and I was getting into step 4 and 5, and I'd like to say about the questions, all of the questions that C.A. Howe has, I am so grateful to all the people who've sat down, given their time and their wisdom and their energy to creating these questions, because what they help me do is have conscious connection with my higher power so that I can see, I can have clarity, I can step out of my delusion. And one in doing step 4 and 5 and in really and 6 and 7 and really facing why I act compulsively and what my base core defect patterns of behavior were. You know, my emotions were just all over the place. I didn't know how to handle them. I didn't know how to treat them. And the answer, again, as I was shown by old-timers, was go read page 4 and 7. Acceptance is the key. And read it till the end of the chapter. And if you don't feel better at the end of that, go back to page 417 and read it again and keep reading it and keep reading it and keep reading it until something happens, until there's a transformation. You know, thank you very much. And if I may, I'll have a couple more minutes. You know, they're just black marks on a paper, but actually they're alchemical tools of transformation because they enable me, they give me wisdom, they show me how to behave, they bring me emotionally to a point where I can surrender. And I would just like to say, finally, you know, as time has gone by and I do more and more questions, the searching of the literature gets deeper. It's constant and it's rigorous. And just really finally, I was saying to my, I've just come to the end of the as-built CSIT questions, and I was saying to my sponsor, oh, I think I'll do this book of questions. And she said, oh, well, did you know that there's a new book of questions on the daily reflections, and it'll take you 3 years to get through them? And I said, wow. And I thought, because the each question each day has got three parts, so, and I thought the opportunity of doing all my steps over three times over, because each month relates to each step. You know, so I've gone from hating the literature, from repudiating it, to beginning to like it, to beginning to search on it. In my darkest moments, I reach for my books and I just open them and read, or I do a question until I feel better. And now I'm actually looking forward to 3 years of questions. And thank you for listening to me. Thank you, everyone, for being present. And there was one further point which I can bring up in the questions, really, of purchasing of literature outside of the US. But I think that's something we can bring up again in the question time. Thank you for the opportunity. And thank you all for my recovery. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Jude. And our next speaker is Barbara.
Hi, my name is Barbara. I'm a compulsive eater, and I believe today is day 621 of recommitted abstinence, and I have an 87-pound weight release. And today I am going to also share on my personal experience, strength and hope, through the literature and the writing, the questions that we have for our daily assignment. And if I have time, maybe a little bit about the sponsoring NCEA How book and workbook. So as I said, my name is Barbara. I'm a compulsive eater. And when I joined a 12-step recovery fellowship for overeaters in 1996, my very small collection of literature included a couple of pamphlets, a recovery book specific to that, at that time, 12-step fellowship, and the third edition of the AA Big Book. Over the years, I have purchased, been gifted, read, and reread many 12-step recovery books. And I am truly grateful that today I continue to embrace the literature, the personal stories, and the guidance from fellow travelers that were honest, open, and willing to record their journey. In fact, I've wondered over the years, especially since becoming a member of CEA How, what would my life look and feel like if 12-step writings were absent from my process of healing, restoration, and recovery? What if the questions from our CEA How workbooks were never conceived, written, and printed? What if I was not privy to the lives of others who shared their stories in our 12-step literature? How would I learn and practice good orderly direction if the founders and fellow 12-steppers had kept all of what they believed to be a solution for our fatal compulsive disease and disorder unrecorded? So with that, you know, with those questions, you know, I just say blessings up. You know, what a gift. Because today, as I read and reread and reflect on literature that has been passed down from the pioneers and from current 12-step fellow members, you know, I am experiencing acceptance. First of all, I'm aware. I am so much more aware. And each year, and again, starting out in 1996, so we're talking a little over, my math's not too good today, but I think it's like 20-some years, 21 years. And I can definitely see the progression, you know, the progression of my awareness, how I'm living today in my disease, and that is with the solution. So what I wanted to kind of share today as far as how I do what I do with the literature, and I just heard someone share that they're getting ready to journey into the 3-year daily reflection. So this is my second year. I started the daily reflection questions last year. And that has been my primary reading every day and writing, although I must say I'm blessed to have a lot of different recovery books. I have three big books. I was just recently gifted a former sponsor's book who passed away this year, and it is a treasure because she had an opportunity to go through it and highlight it. And so just this morning I went to one of the highlighted passages that she had in that book. So again, I've been blessed with so much good literature. But what I wanted to say is what I enjoy about the process is that each new day in this new year, I have a different question because it is a 1, 2, 3. It's ABC. And this is the daily reflection book and then the daily reflection questions. And although the reflection has not changed, because every year on January 1st, it will be the same reflection, but I can, in fact, see the progress in my recovering through my writing. So reading and rereading, reflecting and writing from the 12-step literature seems to always, it leaves me with, you know, the ahas and the wow moments. You know, I have, in fact, been brought to tears recently going over some step work in another program. I had to go through step 6 and 7, and I'm about to do I've done my list, and I'm getting ready to do my 9th step with my amend. So, but I have actually been brought to tears, and what's so crazy is that I've had this particular
5 and 12.
Thank you. I've had this 12 and 12 book since my baby, who is now 18, was like teething because his teeth marks are on the 12 and 12. But it's amazing that today when I read it, not only am I reading it with more clarity, but acceptance. And I'm like, this stuff is incredible. You know, how did I miss this before? But, you know, it is a new day, and I have a different recovery and a different recommitment. So for that, I'm grateful. The daily reflection, it just really helps me get started with my intentions, you know, that I can, in fact, reflect on. And hopefully, prayerfully, that I can practice throughout the day. I love this whole concept of that we write a question every day. No, I did not embrace it every day like this, like I am embracing it today, where I do get a chance to reflect and then write. And then the sharing, you know, sharing what I've written honestly and openly to someone else, you know, it's such a lift. I do want to share one of my reflections that I wrote today, not today, this week, from one of the daily reflections, which is the January 12th, accepting our present circumstances. So since I have a little bit more time, I'm going to read that. And I will say, I love to read. My mom says I started reading at 3. I don't know if that's true. But I love to read, so I have lots of books. And I always felt I wasn't a good writer, so I just want to share this very quickly because it's also in page 12 of the Sponsoring and Compulsive Eaters Anonymous, Hal. My very first sponsor in CEA, Hal, because I do question and judge myself and I'm very critical, she said, you know, there are no right or wrong answers. And it says here, and in fact, on page 12 in chapter 2, which is called The Basics, it says, CEA How Literature, along with Forever Abstinence, your sponsee needs to purchase 2 books from Alcoholics Anonymous, The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and The 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. Explain that he or she will need these books to complete the daily writing assignment. And in parentheses, it says that you will neither judge nor red pencil. So, you know, it's not about an examination for other people to judge. It is a reflection and examination and recovery and restoration of our personal lives that we, in fact, get an opportunity to share with our sponsor and maybe to share with others and give them strength, experience, and hope. So I'm just saying for the newcomer or folks who are just getting started with their reading and writing, you know, write it out. I mean, I write everything out sometimes to a point where I don't even understand what I've been writing because I'm writing so fast and it's coming from my heart. So just write it, let it rip, share it with your sponsor. Don't think that, you know, it's an examination. It's really about what's going on in your life and how that question prompts your heart to sing and to write about what's going on in your life. So with that said, I'm going to just quickly read this writing that I am, and I was trying to find it. Okay, so it's from January 12th, accepting our present circumstances. So somebody during a meeting earlier this week, I think, or maybe last week, read this. Actually, it was January 9th that I wrote this. So, and I titled it, As I Reflect, Pathways to Caring for Myself, Not by Myself. I must ask for what I need, even from people who trigger my anger, disappointment, and sadness. They don't know and most likely will never ask what I might need from them. However, as I seek recovery and restoration, I must ask and accept what they might do or cannot do because they are where they are on their journey. This morning's daily reflection was what I needed to hear in practice. It was a daily reflections meeting, so it was earlier this week. Daily acceptance is the title of this, is the right key to the door that opens my heart to loving kindness of myself and others. Otherwise, I remain on the other side of the door in a state of darkness and madness. The anger blinds me, and my tears are made of fire and ice, and freezes my heart. The only way to freedom from self-destruction and a return to love is the daily acceptance of people and life events. As someone shared today after reflecting on this reading, I must ask myself and or rather know that there are benefits for me in all of the people and events that I experience. Even the people and events that trigger not so wonderful feelings. I am grateful for the willingness to be on a path of recovery that heals my mind, body, and spirit. You know, so again, it's amazing how what I get a chance to read, and it is a gift each day, allows me to reflect and then write what's going on with me. And that is, in fact, the healing that I find in the recovery in our literature. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Barbara. We'll take this time, probably about 15 minutes or so, for questions and questions to the panelists. We had speaking Cheryl, Jude, and Barbara. If you'd like to address, you know, one particular person, or if you'd just like to address the question in general, please press star 6 to unmute.
Hello, this is Hilda.
Hi, Hilda.
Hi. First of all, I'd like to thank all the speakers for sharing their experience, strength, and hope. And I have a question for Barbara. She kept talking about this wonderful literature that she was gifted from her sponsor that had recently deceased. Could she share what that specific literature was, please?
Well, actually, it was her personal big book. And so it's her big book that was gifted to me. So that was, and it is a wonderful piece of literature, the AA big book. So, but what was really cool is that she has gone through it, or she had gone through it, and so in the very front, for example, because this week I saw where she had the page 552 on resentment. So, and I'm working on that right now. So it was just an honor to have this book, to see her handwriting. I never met her, but she was very special to me, and so someone who was very special to her said she had these books that were left, and she asked me, what would I like? And so I chose her big book, and so that's what I have here. It's so thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Anyone else have a question for one of the panelists?
Yeah, this is Catherine.
Hi, Catherine.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for these wonderful speakers. I have a question for Barbara. You said something very interesting to me about self-care. You said something about, I forget the exact words, but moving from caring for yourself and not by yourself, I think, something like that. And I just wondered if you could say a little more about that.
Okay, yeah, thank you. This is Barbara, compulsive eater. So actually what happened is as a result of listening to, I was on a daily reflection meeting this past week at 5:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and so I reflected on the reading, and so I just titled this, As I Reflect, : Pathways to Caring for Myself, Not by Myself. And the reason I titled it that way is that I am currently on a medical leave for 2 weeks, partly emotional and mostly emotionally and partly physical. And so, you know, the therapist said you need some self-care, and we always talk about self-care. So, but, you know, the thing is that I don't do self-care by myself today. If I didn't have this recovery program and support, I would be doing self-care, and I still wouldn't probably get the care I need. So the self-care comes through knowing I'm not alone and that I have a sponsor and I have sponsees and I have literature and I have my writings and I have, like, a whole lot of people that I've never met before all over the planet that I can connect to through Skype, through the telephone, through email. So this self-care is not alone, and it's an illusion to believe. It's just a word, you know. It is a word, but I was, like, hanging on to the thing about what really is self-care for me and what does it look like for me today. And what it looks like is that I'm not alone as I am trying to the best of my ability be in a state of care, you know. So, and, of course, higher power is here and present and also provides me with all of the rich resources and people that help me care, not alone. So I am not caring for myself alone is what I'm saying. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Barbara. Thanks for the question. Who else has a question?
Oh, this is Cheryl. Can I just add something?
Yes, go right ahead, Cheryl.
Please, thank you. I forgot the most important part of CIHAL literature, and that is the forever absent, our food plan, which is vital to for me to keep my abstinence going. This is where I have all the foods that I can have, the meals, the amounts, the maintenance at the end, and all of us that are in program know what it is, the forever absent. And that's something that we give to our new sponsors. They cannot get it unless they have a sponsor. And then there's the sponsor guidelines, the blue book, which we get when we start doing our inventory questions. And I got that as a gift when I started doing my inventory, but that's not suggested because it's kind of costly when you start having more than one sponsor, sponsee. But again, that's really informative, the first few pages in the front. It really helps. It helps us, lets us know if a sponsor slip, what they need to do, and encourages us to have sponsees, encourage sponsees to share at meetings, encourage sponsees to be of service. It actually tells us how to sponsor. And then there are the questions on the inventory questions. And again, at the back, there is also the slip questions. There's 100 slip questions at the back. 170 inventory questions and 100 slip questions in the back. Thanks for letting me share that.
Susan, this is Catherine again. I have a question for you. Will there be a time when the panelists can leave their contact details at the end or something?
Yes, Catherine, thank you for pointing that out. I think maybe we could take this time for the first three panelists to leave their names, not their names, but their contact information. And then I would just ask the next panelists to leave their contact information at the end of their share. Thank you, Catherine, for reminding me. So, Cheryl and Jude and Barbara, can you leave your contact information, please?
Yes, I'll start. This is Cheryl, compulsive eater. I'm in New York. My number is 718-438-6790, 718-438-6790. That's Eastern Time. And that's a step maintenance sponsor. And I'm also the sponsor coordinator, so if you do need a sponsor, please let me know. My email address for that is phonebridgesponsorcoordinator@gmail.com. And I have a nice list of names. Thanks.
Barbara or Jude, can you leave your contact information, please?
Jude here. I'm based in the UK, so my telephone number is country code 44-775-618438. That's country code 44-775-618438. If you don't have international calling, then please do email me because I can ring you back on Skype or we can set up a Skype contact. And my email is Jude, J-U-D-E, at JudeJames.com, and that is spelled J-U-D-E-J-A-M for mother, E-S.com. Thanks.
Hi, this is Barbara, and I'm in Atlanta, Georgia on the East Coast. My number is 404-346-3485. 404-346-3485. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And any more questions? We'll just take a few more minutes for questions and for the panelists.
I have a question. It's Suzanne.
Hi.
Hi. First of all, Susan, thank you for the workshop, and thank you, Jude, Barbara, and Cheryl, and the speakers to come. My question for all three of you is, do any three of you carry any of the CA Help pamphlets to give to 12-step people, such as the pamphlets to leave at doctor's office and the like? So do you carry any of that to give out? That's my question. Thank you.
Hi, this is Barbara, compulsive eater. I must say no, I don't. I have given away literature, however. I've given away, I had two As Bill Sees It books. I had two CEA, sponsoring a CEA How. But no, I haven't done that. And I'm actually in a place right now where I'm thinking about starting a meeting in Atlanta because we do not have live meetings. So I'm considering that in the steps that I need to take. And I know that's the other thing. Our website has great information on what to do to get started. So, but thank you so much for your question. But right now, no, I am not giving away any pamphlets.
Pamphlets. We used to do that a lot. We used to get these pamphlets and leave them all over years ago. But haven't been doing it lately. But what I do, at the different retreats and socials that we have here in New York and in Brooklyn, I have put those pamphlets on the table, and people have picked them up. And we choose not to charge for them, and we have a lot of newcomers that come to those retreats. So it's an important thing to have there. They can pick this up and read it, and whether it leads them to sign up or not, I don't know. But it's important, and there are different ones. I mentioned, I think, six of them, but there are more, and that's what we distribute them from.
Jude here, based in the UK, and thank you for your question, Suzanne. An excellent question, and the answer is, sadly, I don't carry the literature around with me, and there is a paucity of literature on this side of the Atlantic, but what I do, because I am in another fellowship, and I start so people actually see changes. I start conversations, and then I will introduce them to the literature that I have. But in terms of us on this side of the Atlantic getting literature, I mean, clearly we can purchase literature through the online shop. But the Grey Book and the Blue Book, because there are such small numbers in the UK and we don't have an intergroup, I'm unable to order through an intergroup. I'm hoping to set up an intergroup within this coming year. Keep your fingers crossed. I've been working on it for years. But I will get there. And I have to I have to work directly with WSO to get the Blue Book and the Grey Book. One of the advantages in not having an intergroup is that we don't get a reduction on the books, and the disadvantage of being this side of the Atlantic is that the carriage on the books actually means that the cost of the books is nearly twice the price that one would pay for the whole full price, full charge. So, you know, for us on this side of the Atlantic, when we go digital and can purchase digital copies, then we will be so very happy, because with the small amount, we're quite struck for cash because there aren't many of us. So it would be absolutely wonderful when we go digital. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, so we'll move on to the next group of panelists. And the first panelist is Elizabeth. Elizabeth, are you there?
Hi, I'm here. I'm Elizabeth. I am a compulsive eater. How are you?
Very good. Thanks, Elizabeth. You go, girl.
Okay, well, I'm Elizabeth. I'm a compulsive eater. And I was going to kind of skim over. I think it's really difficult to talk about all 12 steps in the program. What I love is that we have the 12 steps written in our Alcoholics Anonymous, a big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, thank God, in how it works, you know. And then all of the, you know, the mental, emotional, and spiritual dilemma that Bill W. And so many others who came to AA who formulated the big book, we get to watch their struggles and how they came to realize, especially what Bill W. shared, how, you know, only a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So let me begin there. You know, I am powerless, the first step, in order to, before we had this dilemma of compulsively eating, first let me qualify a little bit. I've been in program since I first came, my first meeting, and I have about three years, 11 months in abstinence. My very first meeting, I came, I was sicker than a dog, and I'm lucky that I went to visit my sister, who just happened to be looking on the computer, because she wouldn't have mentioned this at any other time. It was just like the, like that, 6 degrees. You know, you walk in the door, you don't even know why you're going to see her. Sometimes, I mean, I wasn't a big visitor of my sister. I wasn't over there every other day. No, so maybe once a month sometimes, you know. And through that, it was something that fell. And so I'm just so grateful that when I walked into that door of my sister's home, and who has passed away because she too is a compulsive eater like me, she too had a fatty liver like myself, it was through her that she told me about God's, from God's heart to her ears to her eyes, and she told me about Sihal. And I said, what's that? Oh, it's a 12-step program. Oh, I kind of remember vaguely over 22 years ago, 25 years ago, about 12-step program. But for me, out of sight is out of mind. So I fast forward a week later, I'm in at my very first meeting. And I have not stopped since. I still go to that meeting. That's my home meeting. Every Tuesday evening, I go to a meeting. And right now, I'm the secretary there. So let me stress that if I was not secretary doing service in a face-to-face meeting, I might say to myself and to everyone else, I don't think I want to go tonight. I'm too tired. But I have all the books. You know, I mean, not the literature books, but I have the How It Works and, you know, everything. I have to be there. I have to be accountable. So so the first thing for me, step one, I'm powerless over people, places, and situations, let alone food. I'm powerless over food and all the things that make me stuff my face, you know, that make me powerless. So finding out, first of all, I didn't even think that I was a compulsive eater. With my disease at 237 pounds, I didn't think I had a problem. Well, I had a problem. I drank all my sugars. I mean, all of them. So Bon Appetit, and that's how I ate my meals, with that Bon Appetit, you know, And it didn't stop at one, you know, two or three. I was not a teetotaler. I was definitely an alcoholic and a compulsive eater to the nth degree in the critical levels of stage. Well, the doctor told me, you know, you have a fatty liver, and if you don't stop it, it's going to be too late. I was reaching that half-point mark in my liver. All right, so that's where I am in my recovery when I first walked in to see how. I think I know now, but at the time I didn't realize that my higher power had brought me there, you see. So step one, I had to admit I'm powerless over food. I'm powerless over everything, and my life has become unmanageable. So to the newcomer I say, you know, if this happens to you and you become, you surrender, that's what we need. The first step, you come to believe something greater than ourselves will restore us to sanity. Something, that's faith. The second step, faith, that there's something. And what is it? I don't care what it is. Something is going to change something in me, but I don't know what it is, and I don't even want to know. It's a higher power. I had a lot of institutional grudges and resentments against higher power in every form when I came into this program. So there's going to be all kinds of us, you know, coming into a program, believers, non-believers, compulsive eaters, under-eaters, over-eaters, anorexics, you name it. We belong together. This is our fellowship of recovery. So in order to go through the 12 steps of recovery, let me say this. We get no recovery. We can keep coming back, and that's wonderful because, you know, that could be me, but I would say, thank you. You slipped for me. I'm so grateful. I'm not grateful you slipped, but you slipped for me. I don't have to try that. She tried that. This one over here tried this one over there. And this one was there for 3 years and then decided to take a walk. Or this one, something horrible happened in their family. Oh, my God. Oh, how sad. Oh, I hope that doesn't happen to me. She slipped for me. I don't have to slip for that person. I don't have to slip because that person has been there, done that. And going to a relapse recovery meetings, going to a meeting every day on the phone bridge is actually, besides this little meeting I go to once a week, that we used to have two meetings, but one of them closed up, unfortunately. I just have to say that if I didn't have the face-to-face meetings, being accountable and, you know, sponsoring and doing service and going to meetings every day of my life, at first I hated it. You don't know me. I was kicking and screaming, coming to these meetings, terrified. But I still came. And I was full of body pain. I had a lot of body pain when I came to the program. A lot of it was fear. Fear throughout my body and in my head. My negative thinking corrupted me spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physically. I ate over all the things I was corrupted over because it was me, you know, me, myself, and I, doing damage to myself, but not realizing how powerless I was over this disease. So if I say to the newcomer, if you get your abstinence, I got my abstinence, and I'm really grateful because I don't want to lose my abstinence for anything. So I always say, don't pick up no matter what. Not if your ass falls off. Do not pick up because you're going to be at step one, two, and three, maybe for a long time. And, you know, don't throw it away. Don't throw your abstinence away. I can't tell you what to do. I can just tell you. That's me speaking to me, not to you. I cannot throw my abstinence away. I dare not. I don't know if I have a second chance for recovery because it took me over 20 years to get here. You know. So
2 minutes left.
2 minutes left?
Yes.
Okay, so I haven't gone past the third step. But let me say this. The crux of this spiritual recovery is in steps 4 and 5 because all the things I ate over, I do an inventory over. And our C-HAL book, our C-HAL sponsorship guidelines covers it thoroughly, more thoroughly for me. The big book is wonderful, and I always have people after they've done the, for my sponsees, if they choose to, I try to especially, it depends on who they are, you know. After we do the steps 4 and 5, to please, let's go over all the things that you have a resentment over. Yes, you're going to go through steps 6 and 7. You're going to write them down. You're going to write your inventory down. Then you're going to do your 6th step, and then you're going to ask God to remove the character defects that I had to. I had hundreds of character defects, and I had no idea because I had shut down emotionally and spiritually and physically. So I had pen to paper, and then I would go over every single emotion. And somebody whom I'm so grateful for, who is a sponsor of mine, gave me a list of 100 emotions, 100 character defects, not emotions, wait a second, 100 character defects, and all, you know, they're all really the 7 deadly sins, but they're just variations of them. And I wrote them all down, and I asked God to remove each and every defect of character. After I prayed over it, talked about it, read it, and shared it, and the whole kit and caboodle. Well, the thing is, walking through the steps is the only way to stay in recovery. So let me just say this. If that's not good enough, you can also, they have a pamphlet called the After the Inventory Questions, which are really incredible. And that's if you have slipped and you've gone away, it's a See How Recommitment Questions to Steps 1, 2, and 3. And they also have in there a 3-step ceremony. Also, let's say for the seasoned 12-stepper, there's another wonderful one. I haven't done it as yet, so I have to tell you, it looks wonderfully juicy. And they're going to reword it. What's called Getting Into the Steps, Questions Based on Alcoholics Anonymous, 4th Edition, and 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. So, but they're going to rename it The 12 Steps Revisited, and In-Depth Questions for Experience people who have been, you know, people who have gone through the 12 steps. Well, I can't wait to do this one. This looks wonderful. And they talk about, you know, Dr. Tybo and Dr. Silkworth and just all the doctors in there in the big block, the doctors and the recovery and our disease. You know, it's a spiritual malady. So if I have a higher power now as a result of walking through the steps, and as a result of making direct amends to people whenever possible, and even those I would visit their grave. You know, there's so many things, but service, 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 surrender and service, 2 S's. Surrender step 1 and don't stop. Please, keep going one day at a time. Surrender and service. And then acceptance. I had to learn that one. Acceptance, I had to accept myself as I am, because I didn't accept me even for a long time. I have to accept other people as they are, because if I don't, what am I doing? I'm just going to hurt myself. So it's just wonderful. We have this this 4th dimension where we have given a chance to transformation, spiritual transformation, not just physical and emotional, because a lot of negative thinking for me has left. It's dispersed. And when it comes back in certain fears, like, oh, my God, I got to talk and blah, 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 I can surrender that to my higher power. And so now it isn't as painful. And a body pain has left me. I go and do exercise. I'm a kickboxer right now. I'm not professional, mind you. But I've been doing it for a year, and I absolutely love it. I'm getting out of the house more. I'm not so isolated. Right. And it's time. So I just want to say to everyone, please, find a sponsor. Live a day at a time. All I say is, I have only one day. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here. This is all I have. So I stay in abstinence. I stay in the abstinence like I stay in the boat and never get out, because I have been out there too long. So I don't want to find out. So thanks for letting me share. And I hope I gave you some information, good information for the 12 step. And I would just, I'll just say that, you know, it doesn't matter on the outside. It's how you feel on the inside more than anything. But it's the outside that keeps us in prison, how we feel about how we look. So, you know, I'm so grateful for my ability now to move, walk, and not end up in the hospital like I did once from a very bad injured knee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth. And Beth, you're our next speaker.
Thank you. My name is Beth. I'm a compulsive eater, and I'm currently a World Service member of the World Service Business Conference Literature Committee. And I'm part of this committee as a responsibility is my membership of being on the World Service Business Convention, which I was a part of starting 3 years ago. And I became an Area 10 rep. And so there's different levels of service that allows us to participate, such as meeting levels, and then intergroup levels, and then area levels, and then world service levels. And to be an Area 10 rep, a member has to have 3 years in fellowship, 2 years of service above the meeting level, attending an area assembly, 2 years of continuous abstinence, being a food inventory and STEP sponsor. And then we attend the World Service Business Conference, which is 2 days of business meetings where we vote on motions for the good of CEA HOW as a whole. And then part of that conference is we're on service committees for 2 years, because it's a two-year position to be an area delegate. And I've been on the literature committee for the past 3 years, doing different projects, and I'll talk a little bit about what we do on the committee and how that impacts you and the literature that you have in your hands on a daily basis. So when... How, I guess the question is, how does a piece of literature get approved? How do we have the step questions? How do we have the came to believe questions? Well, people write those questions, whether it's an intergroup that works together on it, or maybe members on the directors, a world service, or it's a member. And the literature committee receives them, and we go through them, and we edit them. Sometimes it takes just 1 year to turn around a piece of literature. Other times it's a multi-year process. And also part of the responsibility of the literature committee is actually writing questions. We spent the last year or two writing, as Elizabeth mentioned earlier, the getting into the steps, and we revised them and made them stronger and more attuned to the needs of our fellowship. And so we do have multi-purposes in how we function on the literature committee. And we meet usually on the phone, since we're delegates from all over the country. We meet on the phone about every 2 months to discuss what projects we're working on. And then when we have a finished product after editing, we submit a motion to World Service Business Conference, and that motion is with the literature itself. Is sent to all the delegates who will be attending the World Service Business Conference, and they read through the literature, and then they have an opportunity to express how they feel using our motion process, using Robert's Rule of Order, and then the literature piece is voted to be approved or voted to not be approved or possibly looked at to be edited again for following year. An example of this is the new cookbook that came out and has recently been published. That's been in the hands of the literature committee for several years. Originally, it was an intergroup that came up with a cookbook, and the literature committee spent a year or so editing it and making sure all the foods and measurements were in line with Forever Abstinence. And so we brought it to convention 2 years ago and realized that there was still more work to be done on the book because some of the edits had foods with sugar in them. And so after discussion at the conference. The cookbook was voted no, not approved, and that went back into the hands of the literature committee, and they spent another year working on it and editing and adding some different recipes and getting more outside support from people who can be on a subcommittee who have enough abstinence requirements. So it is a thank you so much. It is a process of community, of teamwork, of working together, and that's the beauty of being in positions of service where you are encouraged to work it together, and it really helps me to practice their traditions and surrender control and then take full responsibility for certain things and step up to the plate. It's been a really great opportunity to see where can it begin with me and what can I let go of. And so at the you know, what's new and great about, you know, the upcoming literature, we have a meditation book that has been in the process for quite a few years. And several years ago, we encouraged members to submit meditation writings using program literature so we could have our own one, you know, daily meditation book similar to other 12-step fellowships. And we are still needing more literature meditation submissions. There's no abstinent requirement to submit any of these meditations because the people editing these submissions do meet the necessary abstinent requirements. So my encouragement to you is to really be courageous and believe in yourself that your writings are what other people need to hear. And we are a fellowship of writers, as somebody in program reminded me. We write every single day. Every single one of us in program following the tools are writing every single day. And we just need to have the courage and willingness to submit those electronically and be of good courage and cheer and service. I mean, anybody can be of service, and they can do it from a computer at home. And so you go to the CAAHOW.org website, and there should be a link on the side for phone bridge or for meditations submissions. To my knowledge, it's still up there. For some reason, the link is not there. I'll contact World Service. So it's really, really important that we as a fellowship submit some meditation so we can have a fantastic book of recovery for people to reflect on, and which would then generate more questions, because once we have a book, then we'll have questions. For example, last year we passed and approved questions on daily reflections, and several members wrote actually three questions per entry of the 365 days, so that's a set of questions that you can go on for 3 years. So, I mean, the literature just keeps growing, and things change, and we, as a group, edit, and we write, and we encourage others to write also. So that's where the meditation book is, and, you know, with the timeline, it does, sometimes things take longer than we hope to, but that's, you know, just a part of quality, and we want quality entries with quality edits, and then it takes time to get those out. So we appreciate those who've written for meditation book writings. We appreciate those who have never heard about it, and this is the first time you're hearing about it, and we really want you to participate. And we appreciate all those who spent time, thank you, editing. So in the last minute, there's the newest, hottest literature opportunity, and I guess opportunity, is that we have e-literature coming soon. We're looking into options, and we're finding ways for people to access and purchase and download digitally all of our literature pieces onto your computer or your handheld electronic device. and we are excited to have that option for members. Right now on our website, all of the meeting formats and our program readings are on the website, but to purchase literature, it's always been manual and sent in the mail or picking up at meetings. And so having literature online where you can purchase through an outside purchasing. Thank you. So I just want to encourage people to keep writing. And if you have any questions, my phone number in Pacific Time is 541-908-1335. 541-908-1335. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Beth. And our next speaker is Paul. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. My name is Paul. I'm a compulsive eater, and those 10 minutes go real fast. So I'm dealing with the 12 traditions, and I just want to say that the 12 traditions are the mean in which Sihal remains unified in a common cause, and that is to help the newcomer. We're only going to be able to touch the surface, but I hope to inspire anyone and everyone that's listening today to look at the 12 traditions as a way to continue to grow. Just a follow-up, AA literature is used but has no affiliation to our cause. Our traditions are reprinted and adapted with the permission of AA. And like AA, Sihal was not invented. It grew, trial and error, and it was produced, a rich experience little by little, and we hope by adopting these lessons into that experience, we grow to have policies, but at the same time, we follow those beautiful 12 traditions. Each tradition question in the workbook is about 12 or more, and thanks to Beth, we were just figuring out how that all began and how it gets better and better, but they're very thought-provoking and they're very thorough. So I'm going to go back real quick and say how I got here. Well, we all have our individual, you know, journey into Sihal, but, you know, I eventually, as any compulsive overeater, decided to use sugar and flour as my drug of choice. And even though I didn't know it, you know, I knew it didn't work, I continued because I had a lot of spiritual maladies, and I finally hit bottom, and I was broken, and I'll repeat some that deal with me or just anyone that has had a spiritual malady, and that I became restless and irritable and discontent. I was having trouble with personal relationships. I was not able to control my emotional natures. I was being prey to suffering, misery, and depression. Was not able to be living and feeling a successful life, having feelings of uselessness, full of fear and unhappiness, being like the actor that runs the show, self-will run riot, leading a double life, exhausting, selfish, and inconsiderable habits. The whole idea of recovery and wellness, to me, is to replace that self-centeredness with a growing moral consciousness and a willingness for self-service and unselfish, constructive action. So how did I get here? If I'm ill, I'm broken. Well, it's the tools, the steps, the traditions, and there are always to get there. And how do I become a trusted servant who does not govern? Well, it's definitely these traditions. So I'm going to try to speed dial through 12 of them, but tradition one, or common welfare, should come first. Our personal recovery depends on Sihal unity. It says, united we stand, divided we fall. We learn on tradition of one, each of us are all part of the whole. Sihal must live, and therefore, if it doesn't, many of us will surely die. Our common welfare must come first. Our individual welfare comes a close second. This program is securely founded on the principle of humility. We relate ourselves rightly to God and to our fellows. So what happens if I resist? Well, I can be a rebel. It's okay. But if I work against my program, I work against myself and my recovery. And what glues us together is our common illness and our common solution. By breaking down walls, we lose our wall and we set free all of us to play a part in an orchestra. And we play different instruments. Each of us is individual. We create our own little symphony. We need each other. We can't do this alone. Tradition two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group consciousness. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. We come to depend on a power greater than ourselves. And I recall someone saying that if there wasn't a God, wouldn't I make one up? Well, this tradition is not about God's role, but our role and our behavior. God is mentioned to let us know that we are not the authority in Sihau, and definitely it's not me. But in 1 and 2, we are looking to understand our other fellow Sihauers and learn from them. And each of us plays a part here. Each group has its own conscience. So as a group, at business meetings, or just in general, aspects of our recovery, you know, each meeting gets to figure out its length, its time, its requirements, its focal points, its format, its nature, its sharing time. So as group leaders, our trusted servants, they're not governing, but as a group, we hope that there's a God consciousness in that, and that follows the group. Tradition 3, I want to keep very simple. The only requirement for Sihau membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. But I realize now that anyone that comes in, whether they're abstinent today and they're just listening in, that there's a lot of people that are out there that are suffering. And they are still part of, thank you, they are still part of the whole. It should include all those who suffer as well. We refuse none who wish to recover. And you are a member as long as you say you are. Of course, those who choose to share at some point will have to, live with the requirements of Sihau, such as having 7 days of abstinence. But to come in the door and to be part of our program on any given day, you just need to claim your seat. Tradition 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting our groups to Sihau as a whole. Our common welfare must come first. No one can dictate or tell a group how to run itself. A group can't decide not to use the steps or the traditions. That is the only restriction. And to be a group, it can do anything except be against the traditions to be a group. And let me see here, I'm getting a little off track. We can still dare to be wrong, but there is nothing wrong with good orderly direction. Tradition 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. And I feel that's what, the traditions do. In the literature, there is a rule, better do one thing supremely well than many things badly. And so Sihau can do much for the sick and suffering, and that's a tremendous responsibility. And it says here, descended in an obligation so great that it amounts to a sacred trust. Recovery is a matter of life and death, so we should not be diverted from our primary purpose. We live through the grace of God because many of us know that we are on borrowed time. Tradition 6, as a Sihau group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the Sihau name to any related enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. I'm going to get to 7 real quick by just saying that anything that we put before our program is going to divert us from our primary purpose, which is to help the newcomer and to bring us all together. So I'm going to leave it at that for 6 and go to Tradition 7 because this is Gratitude Month. Tradition 7, every Sihau group ought to be fully supporting declining outside contributions. We also ask many times, especially at our live meetings, not to contribute in the basket, but to invest in literature because it's so important. And, it's brought up often that we don't try to copy the literature, but to actually purchase it and give it as it is in, content because every little cent counts. In the early days of AA, rarely was there anything but change in the basket. And if you look at the statistics of what we as a whole give per meeting, we're still in the change department. But we're still here. We're still surviving. We're still thriving. So other than a prudent reserve, we pass it on to the other groups, especially for those that, deal with the publications and the literature. And now I'm going to go to Tradition 8 as best I can. How should Sihau should remain non-professional, but we can have service centers and many employ special workers. So since I live on the East Coast, I've never been to the West Coast office, but I do know that there's so many committees and so many people that just step up and do so much work for CHOW. It's amazing that on any given day, there are people that are meeting, they're having communication, they're all trying, you know, their very best to do what they can as a whole in a group. And, you know, these traditions are there to basically govern us so that none of us, thank you so much, might need to. But our step work is never to be paid for. There are no stars. There's no, you know, it's professional 12-step work will never work in this program. It's the recovery of one person to another always. Tradition 9. Such ought never be organized, and we may create service boards and committees directly responsible to those they serve. Each group needs the least organizing, with rotating leadership the best, and they say that a group may exist and elect a secretary, but larger groups who are a little more financially responsible can employ a secretary. CHOW's pyramid is inverted. And if you ever look at the workbook, it is, instead of like a teepee, it's a V, because the top is fellowship.
And hi. That is,
thank you so much. Tradition 10, and may just be able to just read them real quick, and then I'm going to give you my information. 10, Compulsive Eaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the CHOW name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. My name's Paul. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm a food inventory step maintenance sponsor. I've been working on the traditions, it seems, forever. But it got me here. It got me a seat because I really feel that they have opened the door and peeled many layers. My cell phone is 646-660-1336, 646-660-1336, and I thank you for my recovery.
Thank you very much, Paul. Our last speaker is Joanne. Joanne, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I want to compliment everyone who has already shared. It's been nothing, I can't add anything. And I just very moved by how everybody is shared from their heart. And I didn't quite know what to share. I'm the literature chairperson for, I'm the literature chairperson for the literature. When you order it through phonebridgeliterature@gmail.com, or you can call me at my phone number, and I process the order. And I came in to see how on April 6th, I came in to see how April 6th, 2012, coming up on 5 years of back-to-back abstinence. And when I came in, because I had struggled so many years with my food, with other food programs, and this program spoke to my heart, and I knew I needed to give something back, and this literature position came open, and I grabbed it. And I'm so grateful I did, because I tell you something, during the times of working through the things that I used food to keep from working on, you know, stuffing my feelings with the food, invariably, every time, I can't say there's one time that didn't happen, I'd go into my Gmail, and there was somebody that needed some literature, or I needed to process an order, or somebody called me. You know, that's how it worked, and I'm so grateful for that. And also, I'd like to suggest that everybody, there was a couple pieces of literature that are not being sold anymore. They suspended them. So if you could check the literature list to see what is available at all times. I also would like to encourage sponsors to email me or call me for their sponsees when they want them to order the Forever Abstinent book, and then later down the road the sponsor guidelines when they're getting into the the fourth and fifth step and possibly the ceremony, because I know I had the sponsor guidelines book my sponsor had me get it right away so that I could follow the questions that I needed to send her every day or call her with them. And also doing the ceremony, I was able to review all the questions so I kind of knew what to do with her. So that would be up to the sponsee and sponsor how to do that. As far as all other literature goes, a sponsee doesn't need the sponsor's approval to order anything they want. I verified that with WSO because I didn't quite know. And she says, oh, they can order what they want. So I just want to pass that on. If you go into See How website and click on phone bridge meetings, and then go down to where it says literature requests, and then there's a click here in quotes, and click on that, click here, and you'll see a list of all of our literature available for phone bridge, plus the price of each piece of literature, the workbooks, and the shipping charges below that. And the shipping charges, you know, some people say, oh, that's, you know, kind of high. Well, you know, it really isn't because the postal rates have gone up quite a bit off and on, you know, how they do. Plus, we have to pay PayPal a fee for processing the invoice. Every person does get an invoice except the ones without computers. I do process those a little differently, and most of them like to pay by check. So you can either pay by PayPal or by check, and the address for paying for check is on the invoice. If you don't have a computer, we usually do that over the phone. It all works out, and we usually have a mini meeting. For those who want to place a literature order, they just go to email. They email me at phonebridgeliterature.com. And give me the literature order they want, their name, address, and phone number, and I'll send them a PayPal invoice, and then they either pay by check or by PayPal, whatever's convenient for them. There's one problem we do have with literature that I'd like to bring out, is people that are scanning and Xeroxing literature and sending it to other people. I talked to Pamela about that, and I asked her to send me something to read at this meeting, and possibly all of you could pass it on. This is what she sent me. It's under helpful information, photocopying, scanning, and or emailing See How Literature for use by another member, including a sponsee, is illegal and discouraged. Our See How Literature is legally protected against unauthorized reproduction by our trademark registration with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. Pursuant to Tradition 7, we are self-supporting through our own contributions. Some members may not understand that photocopying, scanning, and or emailing our literature is contrary to the spirit of Tradition 7. Tradition 7 applies to the fellowship as a whole, as well as to individual members, affects the fellowship as a whole. Each time you photocopy, scan, and or email a piece of literature, you are taking money from the fellowship. The sale of literature helps support the operations of our fellowship and is an essential component of the budget. In order to support the fellowship as a whole, we purchase from CEA Howe the literature in working our program. Affects individual See How members by providing a sponsee or another member with your copy of the See How literature, you are depriving them of their investment in their recovery and their choice in supporting the fellowship, and also rigorous honesty. I've had people cancel their literature orders and tell me that their sponsor or a friend is sending them the literature from their literature. And I do tell them that that's not right to do, I do speak up. It was hard for me to do that in the beginning, but then I thought, well, you know, we need to stick together, you know, as a whole, and unity is also in the literature, buying it. And when I figure out how much money I used on food, buying the literature and these workbooks is nothing. It's an investment. After, you know, I've worked most of the books, not the brand new ones, but most of the books, and I'm into As Bill Sees It right now, and it's fantastic. It's like it gives me what I need each day to start my day, to read to my sponsor, and my sponsor gives me feedback on what I read. Sometimes she does, sometimes she doesn't. And it's very important that I am accountable to my sponsor and to you and to the fellowship, and when I do a literature order, believe me, my heart goes with it. So I believe that's all I have. One more thing. I want to thank everyone that has been involved in putting our workbooks together, reading the books, doing the questions. I mean, it has taken a lot of work, and these people that have done this, I commend them. I'm so grateful to all of you because it has kept me abstinent, and it has kept me spiritually fit on a daily basis. And it has saved me in many ways, and has also enhanced my spiritual growth. It has enhanced my emotional part because I'm an emotional eater. I'm a compulsive eater. I'm an anorexic bulimic, so I have a threefold disease, a binger, whatever. It's a wonder that I still have any insides left. So thank you very much, and my phone number is 303-747-2415. That's Mountain Time, 303-747-2415. Thank you so much, and thank you, Susan, for asking me to participate in this workshop.
Thank you, Joanne, thanks to the all of the panelists. We have time now for questions and answers. So if you'd like to ask Joanne, Paul, Beth, and Elizabeth, if you have any questions for them in particular, please press *6 and ask your question.
Susan, it's Suzanne. I don't have a question, but I would like to share something on literature that's important.
Yes, please, Suzanne.
Quickly, I'll do quickly. First of all, I'm a member of the Education Committee, and we are in the process of writing a trifold on service and a service manual. The trifold will probably be available later this year, and the service manual. The other bit of news is that the Forever Abstinent Booklet and the Sponsor Guidelines are now available in large print and in Braille. So if someone has, yes, and there was an email that was sent out recently, but and it will be able to be purchased through cahow.org, through the World Service Office. Also, one other piece of literature, the first 30-day questions with the readings are available on CD, or as a download maybe, but as a CD and audio. So someone is reading the questions and reading the readings that go along with it. And that will be purchased through the cahow.org website through the World Service. For those who are visually impaired, there is no postage on these things because Braille can be quite heavy. So those are available, and if someone needs other literature to be in large print or in Braille, it can be done. It would take some time, but it would be available, and I just wanted to put that out there. Thank you for letting me share that, and thank you, everybody, for all your service.
This is Elizabeth Compulsive Eater. Suzanne, the first part of your share just before you started to talk about the large print. You were going in and out on the phone. Could you repeat that part?
Yes.
Thanks.
The Forever Abstinent Booklet and the Sponsor Guidelines are available in Braille and large print. And the first 30-day questions and the readings are available in audio. So it will be available through the World Service Office. And if someone is visually impaired, there is no postage for those items. But there is a cost, and it is done through the World Service Office.
Okay, thank you. This is Joanne again. Thank you, Suzanne. I didn't know that. any of that that you just said, and I'm wondering how I can be notified of all the changes that are going on with the literature.
There was an email that went out from World Service, but I will be telling the intergroup so they can put that on the Fulbridge literature page as well.
Thank you.
And we do have our own page, the Special Needs Committee, Accessibility. So there's information there, and it should be on the literature page, and I will get that information. Thank you, Joanne.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you,
Woody.
Suzanne. Any other questions or questions for our panelists?
This is Woody.
Yes. Hi, Woody.
Hi. I would like to share just a little bit, not so much a question. One is in reference to the development of new literature. My intergroup, face-to-face intergroup, was the one that put the 12 Traditions Workshop Guide together in great part. And I cannot tell you what a strong impact that had on our recovery. There were 8 of us who met once a week for months, developing the questions and then taking the questions home and answering them, and then coming back for the following meeting to talk about, for some questions were weak, strong, not understandable, blah, blah, blah. It kept such a strong bond among us that still exists years later, and it really enhanced our recovery just to go through that process. If you're considering like a piece of literature, conference approved, that you particularly like and want to do a set of questions on them and no questions have been done, talk about it with your fellow CL members and see if that's something you would like to meet together to do. It can be tremendously spiritually enhancing. And then the next thing I would like to add is regarding the meditation book. So many people, when they write, they have no idea that they're writing something strong, good, powerful, moving, and they're just reading it back to their sponsor, and I'm one of them. And if my sponsor hadn't said to me through the years, your service now is to send in that writing to the World Service, to the Meditation Book Project, I would never consider doing that. I think all of us have self-esteem issues. I think there's very few of us that will, you know, write from day to day and say, wow, this is really a slam dunk writing. I will, though, periodically admit to, wow, where did this writing come from? And then I know it wasn't me, it was my higher power. But it's not even often I have those insights. And as Beth said before, we are a fellowship of writers. Here is a chance. We ourselves probably don't see in ourselves and in our writing that it's a good piece, a moving piece, but our sponsors hear our writings every day. So I'm making this plea now to those of you out there who are sponsors. Please listen to your sponsee's writing with an ear to whether this might be something that would be really good for the meditation book. I mean, you guys know, we all know when we hear our sponsors writing, wow, wow. And I've taken upon myself to say to my sponsees, clean that up, which means edit it, get it down to 200 words, and send it into the meditation book. That's your service. And when presented that way, they often do that because that is their service. Otherwise, they never would have considered it. So please, sponsors, you have a huge role in getting this book, the Meditation Guide, to be a reality. And how proud we'll all be when that point happens, knowing we have readings that are written for us by our fellows. I mean, how great that should feel. Thanks so much for allowing me to share.
Thank you very much, Woody, for those pointers. Anyone else out there that has a question for our panelists?
Susan, this is Elaine. I just would like to share an observation.
Elaine, yes, go right ahead.
First of all, I want to thank the panelists. You guys rock. And I also want to address the traditions, because so often when we hear about the traditions, we go on autopilot. and in particular Tradition 7. And the reason I bring that up is because at our business meeting today, there was a shock because I got outreach calls afterwards about our average contribution in the last quarter was 14 cents per attendee per meeting. And I'm sure this doesn't apply to anyone here, but I do know that all month I had been putting off my gratitude contribution. And with one of the outreach calls, I said, okay, as soon as this is over, I'm writing that check. And I did, and I mailed it. I just urge, our traditions really are important. You all were worth so much more than 15 cents, at least 30 cents, because there were two meetings in one. No, it was really so worthwhile. So think of ways that we can encourage those around us to think about their contributions, whatever that takes. So if you have any ideas, thank you, and I will pass.
Thank you, Elaine. I'll take this opportunity to say again that the seventh tradition is usually taken at face-to-face meetings, and we encourage PhoneBridge members to practice the seventh tradition. You can use PayPal or send in your donation to our P.O. Box, and that would be PhoneBridge, See How PhoneBridge Meetings, P.O. Box 983, Duarte, California, 91010. So we've come to the close of this workshop. It seems like there's so many other possibilities to talk about literature, maybe a workshop at the convention or maybe another PhoneBridge workshop sometime. But I want to thank everyone who participated today and everyone who came to listen and to ask questions and make comments. Thank you, Loretta, for being our wonderful timekeeper, flexible, and having all different variations of time, 10-minute plus time. Thank you very much, Loretta. Thank you to our panelists today, Beth, Cheryl, Jude, Barbara, Elizabeth, Paul, and Joyanne. And I'm Susan. I've been your facilitator, and it's been a pleasure. I was scared, and a lot of other emotions that have come up over the last couple of weeks. But I am just amazed at the amount of information, and also the experience, and the strength, and the hope that came up at this workshop today. So, if anyone who would like to unmute, we'll close with the Serenity Prayer.
Susan, this is Beth. Can I add one more comment?
Yes, go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify, because I was slightly ambivalent about the website location for the Reflection Books submissions. It is on our website, www.seehow.org. It's on the left-hand column under Member Services. There's a link you click on called Reflection Book Submissions, and it gives you instructions and a form that you fill out electronically. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Beth. Okay. Close with the Serenity Prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Cheryl, for taking care of the recording today, too. Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity
to accept the things I cannot change, the courage
to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
I will, not mine be done.